Well, good morning once again. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 12, repeated in 17, and verse 21. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now the context is divine judgment against Ephraim and Samaria, that is the northern 10 tribes of Israel. Our text is repeated 3 times in Isaiah chapter 9 for emphasis. Now when God says something 3 times, I think we all ought to pay attention. This morning, we shall look at our text and its context and see what we can learn and apply to our own lives. I will submit to you the following 4 applications. First, that men's plans apart from God will eventually fail. Secondly, we must be careful of the spiritual counsel that we follow. Third, when we act wickedly, we will have strife in our lives. And finally, though God's hand stretches out in wrath, it stretches out in mercy, forgiveness, and love also. Men's plans apart from God will eventually fail. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now the inhabitants of Samaria had forfeited God's blessing. They were full of pride and arrogance of heart. These people had big plans. They were self-made men. They saw no need to seek God, for they trusted in their own strength and ingenuity. Even in the midst of God's judgment, they still plodded on in the ways of their own understanding. In the book of Genesis, we read of the men of Shinar who sought to build a great city and a tower, saying, "Let us make a name for ourselves." Throughout history, feeble human beings have embarked on many other humanistic projects. Most recently, the United Nations, which, since it leaves God out, will one day join the League of Nations and be consigned to the ash heap of human history. One day, there will be a fifth great kingdom. The kingdom of our great God and Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day only, there will be peace on this earth. Consider more personally, do you leave God out of your plans for your life and for your future? If so, know this. You are setting yourself up for failure. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? God's plans are to give you a future and a hope. He has given you the path to success. Behold, it is set before you through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. When we consider him first, we shall have peace and success spiritually. Not on our terms, but on God's terms. Our perspectives would begin to change to the degree that we involve Jesus in our every plan. And if we truly believe his gospel, we shall not fail to enter into heaven. Indeed, the Lord promises, saying that the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Our second application this morning is this. We must be careful of the spiritual counsel which we follow. Back in the days of Isaiah, the children of Israel were counseled after this manner. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. There are many who pose as Christian ministers and spiritual gurus and guides who will only bring you into a worse state if you follow them. For they are blind guides, blind leading the blind, and they will lead you directly into a ditch, in the words of our Savior. You will find many of these in popular Christianity, on television. You'll find them in pulpits in our nation, in our state, even right here in our city. You will find them in your homes and in your families. These are those who, for the sake of pride, though they profess themselves to be exceedingly spiritual, will not condescend to come to the house of God in obedience to our Lord and worship him amongst God's people on Sunday morning. You see, they are too spiritual for that. They are lazy, covetous, ignorant of our or denying the gospel and the Bible truth. Some are in it for the power and the notoriety which it brings to themselves. As these false spiritual leaders existed in Jude's day, so do they exist today. Jude's counsel still stands. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Isn't that what Satan does? He creeps in. Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But you, beloved brethren, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, the first two things which led unto judgment in ancient Israel were these. First, men's plans apart from God will eventually fail. Second, the following of blind spiritual guides. And usually, people follow false teachers and false doctrine because they are too lazy to do their own due diligence. There are no shortcuts to spending time in God's Word and time in prayer asking for the enlightenment of God the Holy Spirit, that they might be taught what it means. The third thing is that when we act wickedly, we will have strife in our lives. Those who are ever seeking but are never finding tend to be all over the place. Not only in their spiritual pursuits, but in their whole lives. We read in the book of Isaiah, "For wickedness burns as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and kindle in the thickets of the forest. They shall mount up like rising smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up, and the people shall be as fuel for the fire. No man shall spare his brother." In other words, the judgment of God is coming, and everybody is still out for themselves. "And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall devour on the left hand and not be satisfied. Every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh shall devour Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh." These are brothers, blood brothers. "Together they shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Notice the civil strife that wickedness produces, as it characterized the nation of Israel, it can be seen in many ways in America today. Turn on your television in 2.5 hours, and you'll get a good dose of it. Let us bring this point down to a spiritual level. How much strife do we cause ourselves because of our own anger, because of our own desire to get our own way? "A wrathful man stirs up strife. He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction." The Bible says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." You see, the source of strife, the source of all of our problems, is right here. It's in our own hearts. The problem is not with God. We love to blame people, places, and things. We love to say the devil made me do it. Eve tried all these things. Didn't fly. Ultimately, Eve is the one who committed the sin. And Adam is the guy who is complicit, who watched her do it and joined her. So if the source of strife is the heart, then we need heart surgery. Enter the great physician, Jesus Christ, the one and the only cure for all of our spiritual and life ills. Make your appointment today. There's no waiting period. No referrals required. Though God's hand stretches out in wrath, it stretches out in mercy, forgiveness, and love also. You know, the first time I read this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, I thought that it was talking about God's mercy and how he continually stretches out his mercy towards us. And then when I read the context, and I said, oh my goodness, this is God's wrath. This is serious business. But we can certainly apply it to God's mercy. In our text, we see the righteous anger and wrath of God against the sins of human pride, religious hypocrisy, and strife. God is holy, and he hates sin. So too ought this to characterize us. Yet our God always remembers mercy, even in wrath. Was it not for the sake of mercy, forgiveness, and love that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Amen. The psalmist speaks to Israel. The psalmist proclaims to all his people, in your hearing this morning, these words. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. You see, the wrath of God is intense, but the mercy of God is intenser still. For mercy triumphs over judgment, in the words of James, the half-brother of our Lord. God in heaven considers you. He considers you and I, even in the depths of our depravity, in the midst of all our foolishness, knowing that we failed him time and time again. That before we leave this place, there's a pretty good chance that we're going to mess up again. But God's hand of mercy stretches out still. Amen. This morning, consider him, for God in heaven considers you. His hand of mercy, yea, both hands, are stretched out still. Those distinctive palms, which were stretched out 2,000 years ago at Calvary and nailed to the tree. Come, take hold of those hands, for his mercy expires when you do. Backslider, return, for Christ awaits with outstretched arm. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that though you be holy, and though you have every right in the world to judge and to be angry with us, that you came up with a different plan, a better plan, a plan that we regret to admit we would never have come up with ourselves. Lord, we understand that. We even consider those times when we have failed to offer our hands outstretched in mercy and forgiveness, and instead stretch them out in judgment still, being of a hard heart. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy. May each one here receive it in the plenitude of measure. And find peace, rest, and solace in your loving arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer